We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
This segment for Corpse Run Radio has mainly been created for the purpose of giving you, the listener, an idea of what is needed for you to be able to fly in Warlords of Draenor. It is only secondarily about my opinions of the entire matter of flying or no flying. I just thought that with the release of the Death Water Cooler just prior to me starting to record this segment, what better way than to give you guys a little sort of head start in preparing all your achievements, because they are quite plentiful and it will take quite a while, even for the most dedicated player, to complete. So here you have the segment of Corpse Run Radio on Ian Hazekoster's latest Death Water Cooler Blue Post of June 10th, 2015. Hello and welcome. I want to say off the top that this is for me going out on a limb, because I think that, or I know that it's a very controversial subject, but I want to throw in my two cents on this subject, and the subject is flying in Draenor and the newest development that we just got earlier today. We all know that when it all started, the discussion about if and when we were to get flying in Draenor, they said that sometime after launch 6.1 we would get flying, and then they backed down, said not yet after 6.1 launch and all that good timeline thing, which culminated a couple of weeks ago with them saying that we won't get flying anymore in WoW most likely. And although many people were not very fond of that idea, I must say that I found it okay. I don't mind either way. But when I was asked, I told people that for a sort of compromise, my idea would be that at the end of each expansion, you would be able to fly to be able to play catch up on your alts and on the tunes that you wanted to level through the respective content for any expansion. We had the initial flight in Outlands at 70 and 68 for druids, which got bumped down to 60. We had the flying at 77 in Wrath of the Lich King, which got bumped down to 68. After that wasn't content that was relevant anymore or wasn't current anymore. Then we had the all flying content of Cataclysm, which gave you the master flight license that you could buy so you could fly anywhere in the content that was current at that time. And with Mists of Pandaria, you could buy the flying at level 90, which got bumped down to 85 after Warlords of Draenor got released. So now we are at the flying in Draenor point where all of this is relevant again, and they said they wouldn't give us flying anymore, which was a statement that would count for all future expansions as far as they stated it, or most likely it would. Now again, as I said earlier, my idea was that you could get flying in any latest expansion end level content once the next expansion's pre-patch was released, so we could get to play catch up, and thereby you would be able to enjoy the content from above and be a little faster in your leveling. Now, what they've come up with after so many people were running amok basically on the forums and the shitstorm really got really, really heavy. No other term, in my opinion, that describes what happened in the last couple of weeks, because my opinion is Blizzard plays the ultimate role in this. It's their game and they never guaranteed us or promised us that we want to get flying. They just said we look into it and it looks like this and it should be that, but a definite promise they never gave. And they can do basically what they want with their game. And if we do not like what they do to their game, we can unsubscribe. That's our right, since we pay for the game. We pay our $15 and that gives us the right to play. No more, no less. But Ian Hazekostas, as the representative of the Dev Water Cooler from today, June 10th, 2015, came out saying was that they plan to, it's not guaranteed, still it isn't, it's just they plan to do something that's called the thrill of discovery, where we on the PTR for now do some achievements, and after we've done all of them we unlock a meta achievement called Draenor Pathfinder, and that Pathfinder achievement will, after an additional 6.2x mini patch of sorts, that will unlock flying for all characters on the account, regardless of their level, as long as they are level 90. So all 90 plus characters. The achievements that we need to do for this meta achievement, I just want to go through, since not all people tend to go to MMO Champion and read it. If you want to read it, you can just go there at the main page at the moment. It's the first article, but of course it's bound to be pushed down further and further the more time goes by. So let me just list the achievements that you need to do. As far as it goes now, and the PTR will be up with this, the Draenor Pathfinder will include the Explore Draenor Zones, where you need to, explore the Draenor Zones, excluding the Tanaan Jungle, since that's not a zone that was unlocked at the implementation of the achievement. But I would think that an additional exploration Tanaan Jungle achievement will be part of the Pathfinder as well. We need to collect 100 treasures in Draenor, although the tooltip on the link on the MMO Champion states discover 200 treasures, but I think that it's just a mistake. But yeah, either 100 or 200 treasures, quite a few, I think we can agree on that, will have to be collected. And then the most important one will be the Loremaster of Draenor. We will have to complete the Loremaster of Draenor meta achievement to be able to get flying regardless. Now, those ones are the easy ones, although, as I said, the Loremaster is the biggest chunk of it all. The not so easy one, and that's why I initially thought I am going to make this segment now rather than cover one zone on the podcast, is I want to tell you people that we need to do the Securing Draenor meta achievement. And for the people that don't know what that is, Securing Draenor is complete the Draenor bonus objectives listed below, and they are basically the dailies that you get from the daily Apexus Crystal daily table. So be aware that you need to do those and check them off to get the flying, and that might take quite a while, since you know as well as I do that they are on a RNG rotation, and RNG, as we all know, is very, or can be very, unfriendly to us. So that's the main thing we need to do. Now, one more thing is that there are 3 new Tanaan Jungle reputations, and they are part of the Pathfinder meta achievements as well. So we need to raise those achievements to revered. We can't do that early. That's why I'm cutting that off and adding it to the end of this segment. But be aware that the Tanaan Jungle reputation factions need to be at least revered, not exalted, only in quotation marks revered, for the flying meta achievement Draenor Pathfinder. Again, it's not said that we are going to get it as soon as 6.2 drops. There will be, as far as Ian Hatzakostas told us in the post, there will be an additional mini patch, I think he called it, before it's unlocked. So don't go after a week, don't run to the forums and say, well, I've done it, and I don't have the flying ability. That will not be how this works. Ian Hatzakostas also states in the post that he thinks, or they think, as the development team, that it's a balanced approach. He states verbatim, "We believe this strikes the right balance between ensuring ground-based content lives up to its full potential while providing players who've already fully experienced Draenor's outdoor world extra freedom to, in quotation marks, break the rules." And I agree totally with him. It's a bar they've put in to not make it extra easy to get the flying, and I would say that it's a very fair bar they put in, because they made the game to be explored, to be played, and for you to be able to, as they say, break the rules, you need to play by the rules and know them, so you know how to break them. I think I'm making myself clear here. I really like this approach they made. It was inevitable, if I'm honest with myself, but I thought that they would have more guts really sticking to what they originally planned and not, as I said, cave in. This should be it for me for this week. This has been Grand Nagus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
Hello, darlings, and thank you, Grand Nagus, for that timely information. I, for one, am very grateful and happy that Blizzard have decided to revisit this and given us an option to fly, because it is an option. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but if you want to, you got to put in the work, so I appreciate that. It'll give us something else to do in the game. And I love flying, so I'm glad they put it in, and I enjoy it, so that's good. Grand Nagus did ask me to mention an add-on. Handy Notes has Handy Notes Draenor Treasures, which will help us make the Treasure Hunter achievement easier to complete. So I'm sure I'll be adding that because I didn't already have it. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of time, but yep, I'm glad about it. It'll be good. Anywho, we have a song coming up for you next by Kavo350 called I Am a Goblin. And following that, Noble 87 with part one of his Story of Kel'thas Sunstrider. I hope you enjoy, and I hope you have a great week in and out of game. Talk to you later, darlings.
Put your hands in the air. Where my goblins out there? All the miners over there, please stop what you're doing now. Let me hear you say la 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 la. La 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 la. Put your hands in the air. Where my goblins out there? Oh yeah, let me hear you say, I am a goblin. Blow it up! Goblin in the club, yeah. Blow it up! Everybody, I am a goblin. Welcome to my little shop. Take a look around, tell me what do you want. I can sell you that stuff. Buy it for pleasure, or do you wanna blow it up? Yeah, I got what you need, and just hand that gold to me. Don't fret now, nuh-uh. I'll be working till I'm trade print, so I gotta make this, sell this top dollar. Hey, 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 pledge allegiance to my pay. I don't play, play, play. Do not waste my time today. We can build you up a tank if you wanna burn buildings down. Wanna shred it up, or we can cook you up some holy cow. You know who we are, in our glory we'll say it proud. I am a goblin. Blow it up! I am a goblin. Blow it up! People make fun of me. They laugh at my size and my odd physique. You can call me Dumbo with my big green ears. Man, screw what you hear, no, and don't bug me. Cause I don't care, good things always come in small packs.
And if you don't believe me, you can check me out back.
I'm not just a goblin, girl, I'm a player. And you could be my own Kaja Cola.
Hey, 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 pledge allegiance to my pay. I don't play, play, play. Do not waste my time today. We can build you up a tank if you wanna burn, build it down. Wanna shut it up or we can cook you up some holy cow. You know who we are, in our glory we'll say it proud.
I am a goblin.
Blow it up! Put your hands in the air.
Hey!
Where my goblins out there?
Oh!
All the miners over there.
Hey!
Stop what you do.
Whoa!
Now let me hear you say la 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 la.
Say la
la la la la la la la.
Say la
la la la la la la la. La 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 la.
I am a goblin.
Hello everyone! The other day, Blizzard announced a brand new hero for Heroes of the Storm, namely Kilfa Sunstrider. So I figured it'd be a good idea to take a look at his story, and considering that most of you voted for him, this should be a lot of fun. Kilfa's has quite a big story behind him, so I might not be able to tell all the little details, and I'll probably do it in two parts. But let's just begin and see how far we can go, shall we? Not much is known about Kilfa's youth. Jaina says that he once was a student at Dalaran, and he was the son of Anastarion Sunstrider, the king of the High Elves. In the past, the High Elves, they used to be highborn Night Elves who fought in the war against the Burning Legion. This war took place around 10,000 years ago, in which Queen Azshara, she tried to summon Sargeras and the Legion into the world. Some of the highborn did not agree with their queen's choices, they deflected from her, and they joined the Night Elf Resistance. Eventually, at the end of the war, Azshara and the Legion were defeated, and some of the highborn that stayed at the queen's side, they were turned into the Naga as the world of Kalimdor sundered apart. The highborn that joined the Night Elves, they were led by Dathramar Sunstrider, and they would eventually be exiled by the rest of the Night Elves. The Night Elves have made the use of arcane magic punishable by death. Considering that they didn't want another Legion invasion, they didn't want to draw the attention, so they made the use of arcane magic punishable. Illidan's Stormrage had turned a big fountain of water, water that was so critical at this time. He had used a vial from the Well of Eternity, several vials even. He had created a new Well of Eternity, and for these actions they imprisoned him, because Malfurion, he convinced all the other Night Elves to not execute his brother, so instead they imprisoned him for life. Now the rest of the Highborn, they were unable and unwilling to give up the birthright of the use of arcane magic. Instead of killing all of them, the Night Elves decided to exile the Highborn, but before the Highborn left, they took with them one of Illidan's vials. This vial was filled with water from the original Well of Eternity, they took it with them, and during their travels, the Highborn, they would eventually change, not only in appearance, but they also changed in behavior. And eventually, they would call themselves High Elves. They built the kingdom of Quel'Thalas. They used the vial of water to create their sun well, and with the use of magic, they created their own beautiful kingdom. A kingdom that would last for millennia, was able to hold out against the trolls, became allies with the humans, and eventually the High Elves, they would be ruled by Dathramar's great-grandson and Kilfa's father, namely Anastarion Sunstrider. Like I said, there isn't much known about Kilfuss's youth, so I wanted to take the opportunity to explain a little bit about the history of the High Elves, because it's very important for the rest of Kilfuss's story. The first time that we see Kilfuss pop up in the story is when Khedgar informs the Council of Six about the events that took place during his time as apprentice to the Guardian Medivh. Medivh, under the influence of Sargeras, he had opened the Dark Portal and initiated the first Orcish Horde invasion. Khedgar eventually figured out that it was his mentor who had led the Orcs into Azeroth, and together with Corona and Winlothar, they managed to take out the corrupted Guardian and stop Sargeras' plans. This did not prevent the Orcs from invading their world though. Events were already set in motion, and Stormwind's king was assassinated and the city of Stormwind fell. Those that were able, they fled the city, they set sail to the lands of Lordaeron to warn them about the threat of the Horde and get an army ready. As Khedgar was summoned before the council, he was getting ready to make his report, but as was procedure with the Council of Six, the council had cloaked themselves to keep their true identity a secret. Khedgar at this point had been through far too much, he'd stayed up far too late talking tactics with Lothar, so he didn't want to play such games. He asked them all to remove their cloaks so they could talk face to face, and although some were shocked by this request, Kilfuss Sunstrider, he simply chuckled and was the first to remove his disguise. Now for those unaware, the Council of Six is the name given to the Kirin Tor High Council of Dalaran. These six leaders, they're the leaders of both the city and all the territories under the control of Dalaran. And besides Kilfuss Sunstrider at the time, you also had Antonidas, Kel'Thuzad, Cressus, Modera, and I assume Ansarum Runeweaver, although the book simply describes him as a pudgy man, which Khedgar didn't recognize, but if I looked at the list of possible members, he's most likely the one. Khedgar made his report to the council, he explained about Medivh, he explained about the orcs, Corona, the fall of Stormwind, all that information was given to them, and the council decided that the best course of action was to make the destruction of the Dark Portal their number one priority. Throughout the rest of the war against the Horde, the Kirin Tor did offer their aid with their magi, and it was Khedgar who shut down the portal after the first Horde was defeated. He was unable to completely destroy the connection between Draenor and Azeroth, though that connection would remain, and the Horde would eventually return for their second invasion. This time, the Horde didn't come to conquer the planet. That plan already failed, they had new ambitions. This time, all they wanted to do was collect three artifacts, namely the Book of Medivh, the Scepter of Sargeras, and the Eye of Dalaran. The final artifact, as the name suggests, the Eye of Dalaran, it was kept at Dalaran under magical protection. As the Death Knight Terangor and his troops broke in, alarms were raised, and as Kilfuss joined the fight, he saw his close friend Sephara die in battle. In retaliation, Kilfuss raised both hands and drew them apart. Across the room, one of the Death Knights jerked and then shrieked as his body was literally torn limb from limb. Antonidas warned Kilfuss that the Death Knights had to be stopped from teleporting, so the prince did his best to stop them. He tried to weave a spell, but they managed to escape moments before he was finished. The Death Knights didn't teleport far away though, and with a spell of their own, they were able to follow their teleportation. Up on the balcony, this time they managed to cast their spells, they managed to prevent the Death Knights from teleporting further away, but unfortunately, that was not enough. The Horde had the Black Dragon Deathwing working with them, and he appeared alongside the balcony and carried them away. At this point, the risk of shooting spells and angering the mighty Black Dragon, it was simply too great. The Deathwing could turn around, incinerate their city, so Kilfuss and the others, they let them go. Thankfully, the Alliance of Lordaeron, amongst them Khedgar himself, they were able to figure out the Horde's plans, and they stepped through the Dark Portal to stop them. Kilfuss stayed behind and resumed his duties as member of the Council of Six, while his attention was drawn to completely different matters. A young girl named Jaina Proudmoore, she'd moved to Dalaran to study the arts of magic as an apprentice of Antonidas. Kilfuss was very interested in a young mage and he openly courted her. He'd even invited her to come and visit him in Quel'Thalas, a land where magic was part of the culture, not just part of a city, not just confined to a handful of elite educated magi. Magic is the birthright of every citizen who would embrace the sun well, and Jaina, she was more than welcome to come and experience it. Unfortunately for the High Elf Prince, Jaina had already set her eyes on another prince, and she also found Kilfuss to be more intimidating than someone she could actually fall for. She felt no such intimidation with Prince Arthas Menethil, and the human prince felt the same for her. One day, after the snowball fight, they ended up in each other's arms and they kissed for the first time. From that moment on, they would steal moments here and there to sneak a kiss, to sneak a hug, since openly loving each other, it would just feed the rumor mill, and both of them had silently decided to not let these rumors grow. As Jaina came back from practicing her fire spells one day, Arvis was waiting for her and he dragged her into the shadows for a loving embrace. What they didn't know was that right behind her, Kilfas had followed Jaina to bring back the tome that she had dropped, and as he caught them in their acts, he was furious. Anger and outrage fairly crackled around the mage. He was powerful, and Arvis knew that if it came to it, he wouldn't stand a chance. Kilfas kept his composure though, and with clenched fist he hissed, "Ashamed of her, are you, Arvis? Is she only worth your time and attention if no one knows about her?" Arvis's eyes narrowed. "I have fought to avoid the ravagers of the rumor mill," he said quietly. "You know how these things work, Kil, don't you? Someone says something, and next thing you know, it's believed to be true. I will protect her reputation by..." "Protect?" Kilfus barked the words. "If you cared about her, you would court her openly, proudly. Any man would." He looked at Jaina, and the anger was gone, replaced by a fleeting expression of pain. Then that too disappeared, and Jaina looked down. "I will leave you two to your tryst, and do not fear, I will say nothing." Kilfas kept his word, and he said nothing, and the love between Jaina and Arvis grew stronger, until the point came that Arvis got cold feet. He wasn't ready for the responsibilities of it all, he wasn't ready for children, the weight of the crown, all of that, and he decided to end their relationship. Losing Jaina would only be the first thing that Kilfas would lose to Arvis, since this brings us to the events of Warcraft 3. A plague was spreading across the lands of Lordaeron, and Prince Arvis, together with Jaina, were sent to investigate. They found out that the plague was being spread through the grain used to feed the people, and the man behind it all was none other than Kel'Thuzad, former member of the Council of Six, but exiled from Dalaran and even Lordaeron because of his dark studies into necromancy. Kilfas had been there that day when Antonidas informed Kel'Thuzad about what they knew about his studies, but Kel'Thuzad didn't care. At this point, he was listening to the whispers of Ner'zhul, of the Lich King himself, sent by Kil'jaeden to weaken the world of Azeroth and get it ready for another invasion from the Burning Legion. Eventually, Arvis and his troops, they managed to take out Kel'Thuzad. He decided to purge Trefholm since the grain had already been given out to the people, and there Mal'Ganis taunted the prince to follow him to Northrend and deal with him there. Arvis did just that. He went to Northrend, he picked up the Cursed Blade of Frostmourne, gave up a piece of his soul, and he got his revenge. After spending time in the cold heart of Northrend, listening to the whispers of Ner'zhul, he was now an agent of the Lich King, and as he returned home, he murdered his own father, and he slaughtered the people of his kingdom. This was just the first step in the plan, though. Next, they would have to summon Archimonde into the world, and Kel'Thuzad was the man for the job. This did require to collect Kel'Thuzad's decomposed remains. They had to carry these remains in the urn that contained Arvis's father's ashes, and they had to travel to the high elven kingdom of Quel'Thalas. Only the powers of the Sunwell would be strong enough to bring back the necromancer.
Ah, the wondrous, eternal Quel'Thalas. I haven't been here since I was a boy.
Be wary. The elves likely wait in ambush.
The frail elves do not concern me, necromancer. Our forces are strengthened with every foe we slay.
Don't be too overconfident, Death Knight. The elves must not be taken lightly.
We shall see. Bring forth the prisoner. Where is the entrance to your land, elf?
You will never enter Quel'Thalas, fallen prince. The woods themselves protect our borders, and the enchanted elf gates protect our capital.
Your precious gates will not stop me any more than these trees, little elf.
Bring up the meat wagons.
We'll make our own entrance.
Kilfas wasn't home when the undead marched into his lands, marched upon his city and his people. But Quel'Thalas was not without its own defenses. The city had been able to hold out against the trolls, they were able to hold out against the dragons under the control of the orcs, so their magical protection was strong, yet it wasn't enough. A traitor from within, Darkan Dravir, informed Arvis about how to disable the magical protection. 3 magical stones Arvis had to collect, and these stones, the location where they were hidden, they were kept a secret, of course, and only those on the inside knew about them. Yet Arvis was informed, and the defenses quickly fell. People like Sylvanas Windrunner tried to stand up against the fallen prince. Lady Lydrin, all of their people, they put up a fierce fight, but death itself had come to their home, and it was not about to stop. At Quel'Danas, King Anastarion and Sunstrider rode out to meet Arthas and Frostmourne head-on. The king was a powerful sorcerer, but 3 millennia rested upon his shoulders. Despite that, despite the obvious disadvantage, he still met Arthas and he fought with the ancient weapon known as Felomelorn, also known as Flamestrike. Sylvanas is a banshee, she was forced to witness the battle, and she knew that the ancient elven weapon was no match for Frostmourne. It snapped as the blades clashed, the severed pieces whirling away, and Anastarion fell, his soul ripped from him and consumed by the glowing Frostmourne. Arthas' mission was successful, and the powers of the Sunwell were claimed.
Citizens of Silvermoon, I have given you ample opportunities to surrender, but you have stubbornly refused. Know that today, your entire race and your ancient heritage will end. Death itself has come to claim the high home of the elves. Now arise, Kel'Thuzad, and serve the Lich King once again.
I am reborn as promised. The Lich King has granted me eternal life.
News of the destruction quickly reached Kil'Thas in Dalaran. Jaina tried to talk to him, speak words of compassion and comfort, but Kil'Thas was furious. He was barely restraining himself from physically harming her, and he accused her of letting this butcher sleep in her bed and choosing Arthas over him. Jaina understood that he was attacking her since his real enemy wasn't there, yet she could do nothing to comfort him. I could have stopped him. I should have. He straightened, and coldness suddenly chased away the fire in him. He bowed low, exaggeratedly. I will be departing Dalaran as soon as possible. There is nothing for me here. Jaina winced at the emptiness, the resignation in his voice. I was a fool of the greatest order to ever think any of you humans could aid me. I will leave this place of doddering old magi and ambitious young ones. None of you can help me. My people need me to lead now that my father... He fell silent and swallowed hard. I must go to them, to what pathetically few remain, to those who have endured rebirth by the blood of those who now serve your beloveds. Kil'Thas could have teleported instantly home, but instead he decided to travel so he could witness the devastation. Upon arriving, his people wanted answers from their prince. They were hungry, tired, devastated, yet the prince did not immediately address them. He first asked Lord Marfaron to show him to his father so he could pay his respects. The prince began with a blessing. I knew this day would come, but I never dreamed it would come so soon. I fear I am not ready, father. You are the king. You will always be the king. There was a sound of cloth rubbing, and though he could not see it, Lorfmar imagined the prince kneeling at his father's side. I only ever wanted to make you proud. Grant me the strength to be the man you hoped I would be. Grant me the strength to carry us through this time of despair. Grant me the strength now to lead our people through. The prince offered a final prayer. After that, the prince and his magi, they inspected the Sunwell, and they came to a horrible conclusion. The resurrection of Kel'Thuzad had corrupted the magical energies, and if they did not do something, then the corruption would not only spread through the lands, it would spread through their own people. Even though the Sunwell was their birthright, their fountain of power, it had to be destroyed. Some of the High Elves, they protested of course, but eventually they realized that it had to be done. On top of that, Liadrin informed them all that trolls were gathering, and they were getting ready for an attack. They too wanted to claim the Sunwell's power, so Kil'Thas decided that they would deal with the corruption, with the remaining undead, and all the assaulting trolls in one single strike. As Liadrin, Lorfmar, and several others kept the enemies at bay, Kil'Thas, Romath, and Alastor, they worked on their spell. Each of them held one piece of the Key of Three Moons, the same key that Arthas used to break the defenses, and it was recovered after Arthas was done with it. Romath, Kil'Thas, and Astalor, they backpedaled as the pulsating pillar of blinding white engulfed the violet hues of the Sunwell. It radiated outward with a loud hum that muted all other sounds. With one final push, it pulsed, then snapped back to the Sunwell's center. The hum was replaced with a sudden silence, broken only by the sound of rain hammering the earth. Now! Now! Kil'Thas screamed, stretching his arms wide. One by one, the Farstriders, the healers, and finally the Magisters and Kil'Thas himself, they disappeared as the blinding white beam exploded outwards, vaporizing everything and everyone in its path. And when it dissipated, it left nothing of the Sunwell but a dark and empty hole. The High Elves made the impossible choice of blowing up the Sunwell to prevent the corruption from spreading. Not all of its powers were gone, though. The Red Dragon Coriolstras, he collected the remaining powers as he knew that sooner or later, someone would realize the same, that these powers were there and come looking for them. He hid the powers away by disguising it as a young girl named Edwina Teague, but that's a bit of a side story that I'll cover next week, and on top of that, I already did a video specifically for Edwina Teague. Now for Kilvas, it was time to take his father's place and lead his people. The moon crystals used in their spell, they had endured, but their power was greatly diminished and corrupted by the energies they have channeled. They decided that Prince Kilvas would be the best man to keep them safe, so Kilvas kept the three orbs. Two on his shoulders and one above his head. The prince was now leader of their people, but he would not name himself king. His father would be the last king of the High Elves. They would now call themselves Blood Elves in honor of those who had laid down their lives to defend their way of life, to defend their home and their people. These Blood Elves would find out that being dependent for millennia on a source of power on the Sunwell, it left a certain hunger behind. They were addicted to magic, so would have to find a way to cope. To survive, to rebuild, to prevail.
Strangely, we found deliverance in the demon Illidan.
That story, however, I'll save for next week, since there are still many events to talk about, and I've been going on for long enough. Next week, we'll take a look at how Kilvas takes up the role as leader of his people, and the choices he had to make to assure a future for all of them. Thank you very much for watching, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the story so far. Subscribe if you like my videos. And until next time, guys. See ya!
My people lost everything. Their light was extinguished, replaced by a hunger for magic and vengeance. We became the Blood Elves. Now, I will fight! For my homeland. Selama Arshalanori.